John 14, verse 1 through 6. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the place, you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Shall we pray? Prepare our hearts, O God, to hear your word and obey your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
We've been thinking together about changing the scorecard. And this morning and next Sunday, the last two in that series, we've thought about encouragement and what would it look like if we would encourage one another, literally to come alongside and be cheerleaders for one another in the walk of faith. We look together, too, at humble service. Washing somebody's feet, maybe, could be, but not literally. Literally, humbly serving other people and giving them ourselves for their good. We also looked at moving towards someone's pain, not crossing by on the other side of the road, but to invest our lives in people. Last week we looked at joyful laughter and thinking together about trusting in a big God who's bigger than any problem, and we can rest in Him and laugh and knowing that we're sheep after all. And today we're going to look at trusting relationships for just a few moments. And next week, in the conclusion of the series, resolving differences in healthy ways. But this morning we think about trusting relationships. Trust is at the very basis of loving each other. You know, it's very hard to love each other if we don't trust each other. And that starts, that trust really does start with Jesus Christ. It involves trusting Him first. That's where it starts. And we see in John chapter 14, the passage that Mike read for us this morning, that just previous to that, in John 13, Jesus had told them some disturbing news. He says, I'm only going to be with you a little while longer. And where I'm going, you cannot follow me. And the disciples were very upset about this. Very disturbed because they had really left everything to follow Jesus. And now he said, I'm going away and you can't come. And Jesus noticed that they were disturbed, that they were upset. And so then he said to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Trust in God. Trust also in me. She says, trust me, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back to take you to be with me where I am. Trust me. And Jesus' phrase, trust me, is a phrase that's seen a lot in Scripture. It's either trust me, believe in me, put your faith in me. It's continual in his encounter with people. It's the primary question that he puts to people. It's the primary question that he puts to you and I this morning. Are you going to trust me? Trust me. Do you trust my reliability, Jesus says? Do you trust me? Jesus is the one who was there at creation. We're told that through him all things were made. And we're told that in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was there at the beginning. Jesus says, I'm God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He claims divinity. He had authority over wind and waves and sickness and disease. And he calls us to trust him. I've experienced life, he says, as you know it. I've been tempted in every way as you have. I faced death. I conquered death. Trust me. And he says, I'm coming to make all things new. Trust me. Trust me. Do you trust Jesus with you? And here I'm not talking about just trusting in this sense of believing certain things about Jesus. I'm talking about the fact, do you trust Jesus with you? Or do you hide from Him? It's kind of silly because He is God. And He knows what's in your heart. He knows every thought, every act, even if hidden from others. And we see in Romans 5, 6, and 7 that even while knowing all this stuff, He died for you while you were a sinner. So Jesus knows everything about you. You can trust Him. And in fact, in knowing everything about you, He died for you. And He says, trust me. Or we might trust Him in one area, but not in another area. And Jesus calls us to surrender. He says, trust all of your life to me. I know everything about you. I know every motive. I know every thought. I know every act. I know every sin. I know every mistake. I know everything about you. And I love you. And I gave my life for you. So he says, trust me. So the key question is, do you trust me? I have a tickle this morning, so it's... Do you trust me? Jesus has shown himself to be trustworthy. He always keeps his word. And his call is to trust. And that leads then to the second piece of trust, and that is being trustworthy people ourselves. Knowing the trustworthy love of Jesus, the call in Scripture is to be trustworthy yourself. Are you a safe place for others? To share their ups and downs, their spiritual journey, the problems that they're facing in their life. Are you a safe place? When we talk about together in the Ritter process of the training leadership, one of the things that's stressed, the very first thing, in fact, that's stressed, is that you do what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it in the manner that it's meant to be done. In other words, if you've made a promise to do something, you're going to do it. And you're going to do it within the time frame that's indicated. And you're going to do it in the manner that it's meant to be done. Not just showing up and going, I'm here, whatever, I've done it. No, you show up in the manner that it's meant to be done. You're trustworthy. Proverbs 3:29 says, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Proverbs 11:13 says, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. Proverbs 12:22 says, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. Trustworthiness. Trusting in Jesus Christ and being trustworthy people ourselves builds health in the life of a church. There's health when that's present. And it's the opposite of a trustworthy spirit is a critical spirit will destroy a church. And we see this in Galatians 5, verses 14 and 15, where Paul writes, he says, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You know, sometimes we believe that the greatest threat to the Christian church might be liberalism and however we would define that or some thought of the world that's invading us. Now, while those things might be situations that we need to look at and seek to understand and discern, it is not the thing that's going to destroy the church. The thing that's going to destroy the church is right here. It's a critical spirit where we bite and devour and destroy each other. Paul makes that very clear. It is more powerful than any liberal threat that we might think is out there. And I say that as a conservative church. Biting and devouring each other, a critical spirit, will destroy us from the inside out. What does that critical spirit look like? It looks like it's gossip. Reveal secrets, talebearers, sharing stories that are not yours to tell. Slander. Making false statements in order to damage a person's reputation. You don't know if it's true or not, but you're going to share it. Begin to feel good about destroying somebody else. Judgmentalism, an excessively critical point of view. Judge harshly. And there's none of that in your life, but there for the grace of God go I. When we see somebody failing, when we see somebody feeling morally, very judgmental, there is no, but there for the grace of God go I. There is no understanding. It's not condoning what they've done. It's wrong. But there is a spirit of judgmentalism there. Judgmentalism has that idea of we're very hard on people who struggle with the things we don't struggle with, but we're silent about the things that we struggle with. That's judgmentalism. Very hard on the people that struggle with things we don't struggle with, but silent about the things that we struggle with. Complaining. Habitually negative about others and circumstances, discontent and ingratitude. And be rest assured about this. If someone is talking to you about someone, gossiping, etc., you can be sure that they're talking about you behind your back as well. Make no mistake about it. So we need to do a serious heart check. I need to do a serious heart check. Are you a trustworthy person? Or is your life dominated by a critical spirit? If so, people won't trust you. They won't trust you. And you won't trust others. Trusting Jesus. Being trustworthy people leads then to trust others. Trusting others, grace says this. You trust others until they prove themselves untrustworthy. And maybe you've been hurt by others. Maybe you've shared something and then you heard it about it at the coffee shop the next day. Maybe that's happened. If that happens enough, you stop trusting. And there's no real relationships. And it's sad. Maybe your church damaged. In one place you thought you could be safe. And we end up biting and devouring each other. Sometimes it's like a church that had 16 members and they had 16 different financial accounts. There was no trust there, was there? We're called to trust each other. And that's usually small steps. Small steps to see if another person is trustworthy. You trust in small things and you share those. And if you don't hear it around town or you hear that it got out, you understand that this person is a trustworthy one. And then what happens if your trust is betrayed? Somebody betrays you. Yeah. Forgiveness, yes. And you got to explain why you're hurt. But it doesn't mean you're commanded to associate with him or her again in that trustworthy manner. And if you do, you start slow, you start small, with little things. Trust Christ. Firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, and strength of Christ. Be trustworthy, able to be relied upon as honest and truthful, and trust others. Share the joys and sorrows of your life with others. But you see, it all begins right here in what we're going to be doing this morning as we celebrate together the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. 1 John 4:16 says, "We ourselves have known and put our trust in God's love toward ourselves." You see, this is where it starts. It starts here. Do you trust that Jesus loves you, accepts you? Not only here in church, but every minute of every day. In the days when everything goes your way, and in the days when everything goes wrong. From celebrating the birth of a child to facing death. Do you trust that Jesus loves you and holds your life? Because you see, here's the most important question. The most important question that I can ask of you. And that Jesus asks of us. Jesus doesn't ask, "Do you love me?" As he did Peter, he did. But it's not the central, most important question. The central, most important question is this. Do you trust that Jesus loves you? Do you trust that Jesus loves you? This is first. This is primary. Everything else is secondary. Do you trust that He loves you? And if you trust that He loves you, it begins to fill and shape. His love is trustworthy. You feel it. You sense it. You know it. And when you feel that, you become trustworthy. You don't have to gossip to make yourself feel better. Your worth is in Jesus Christ. He said, "I love you. I gave my life for you." That's how much you're worth. And then we're trustworthy with others. We trust others. There's a saying that was really helpful for me in thinking about this issue that came again through the Ritter leadership. In talking about being vulnerable with others, it said, you don't have to share everything with everybody. You know, sometimes maybe we know some folks who are like that. They have to share everything with everybody. You don't have to share everything with everybody. But everything you share with everybody is to be true. Do you see that? You don't have to share everything with everybody. But everything you share with everyone is to be true. And there are a few people in your life that need to know everything, that you're able to share all things with them. That's trust. So when we think about moving towards health, when we think about changing the scorecard, when we think about making this world a better place because we're in it, it starts with trusting Jesus. It moves to being trustworthy, and then it leads to trusting others with us, and that can spread into the body. And do you see what a difference it makes? Instead of destroying each other from within, biting and devouring each other, as the Apostle Paul says, we build up from within in trust. In trust. You know, for instance, for me, if I was sick and couldn't be there and the consistory was scheduled to meet, I'd say, "Go ahead. You can meet without me. I trust you." And I do trust them. And I believe it's that kind of trust that begins to build up strength within the body, health within the body, and not destroying and tearing each other apart. Let's pray that that can happen here. But it begins with Jesus. Trust in God, trust also in me. And that's what the supper is about, that we're about.